Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, 26th February 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The situation is calm but tense in Mashingo City, where ZANU-PF is throwing an $800,000 birthday bash for President Robert Mugabe.
Our leader is nowhere to be found. His phone is no longer reachable. He was indicating that he had received some threats from state security agents who were threatening him, maybe to kill him or maybe to abduct him.
The opposition MDCT attacks President Mugabe for donating 300 cattle to the African Union Foundation.
As the MDC, we find it very strange and also very suspicious why President Mugabe would donate 300 cows to the African Union.
And Zimbabwe makes some moves to get rid of Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana, facing accusations of breaking the law.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. The situation is calm but tense in Mashingo City, where the ruling ZANU-PF party is set to throw an $800,000 birthday party for President Mugabe tomorrow. Some angry youths had promised to stage protests over the bash, claiming that the president cannot be having a feast at Great Zimbabwe monuments while the province and Zimbabwe in general is gripped by a devastating drought. Our correspondent Gandri Maramba reports from the provincial capital.
An independent non-profit-making organization, Youth for Advocates and Democracy, or OYAD, promised early this week to stage peaceful protests in Mashingo City to show their anger over the president's lavish birthday party. According to the principal organizer of the marches, Munyaradzi Rishwaya, YAD abandoned the protest after he received death threats from unknown people. Rishwaya said the presence of armed police and plainclothes intelligence operatives in the city also forced them to chicken out in fear of being brutalized by the Zimbabwe Republic Police. Rushwaya claimed that he is now in hiding and had to communicate with this reporter through WhatsApp. He said his life is now in danger after he had threatened to unleash youth in the city in an effort to block the birthday bash to be attended by more than 50,000 invited guests. One of the YAD members, Tapfumba Gumbi, confirmed that his leader received threatening text messages on his mobile phone from suspected state security agents.
Our leader is nowhere to be found. His phone is no longer reachable. But from the talk that we had, from the discussion that we had with him early in the morning today, he was indicating that he had received some threats from state security agents who were threatening him, maybe to kill him or maybe to abduct him. At the moment, we don't know where he is. So I think we have a little bit shelved the demonstration. And then the other thing that's intimidating us at the moment, as you can see, Mashingo, there are a lot of police presence within Mashingo province. I think we had reached the authorities that we are planning this demonstration.
Police were not available for comment. Some Zimbabweans say it is morally wrong for the president to hold a lavish birthday party in Mashingo, which is crippled by the current drought, while people cannot afford a decent meal a day. So-called well-wishers are paying for the birthday, though indications are that local people were forced to part with at least $7, a part of their contribution towards the event. A Mashingo resident who declined to be named said the heavy police presence in the city today made it impossible for anyone to hold a protest.
It was almost impossible for anyone to hold a march under the circumstances, given the heavy presence of the security details. The situation is, the security is watertight, and it was foolish for anyone to get in the streets, because they were going to be beaten thoroughly and if not killed.
Despite heavy police presence, the city of Mashingo today was a hive of activity, as ZANU-PF supporters from Zimbabwe's 10 provinces thronged the small city streets in preparation for President Mugabe's birthday party. ZANU-PF top-of-the-range vehicles and school buses from various learning institutions, including colleges and universities, are all over the city. Hotels reportedly recording brisk business ahead of the big gig tomorrow. Masvingo Provincial Administrator Felix Shikobo told journalists that at least 50,000 guests are expected to attend the bash. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masvingo, this is Gandhi Maramba.
Meanwhile, Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe celebrates his 92nd birthday tomorrow, with no sign he intends to relinquish power. But it seems his party is split on what the future holds for him and the ruling ZANU-PF party. Sebastian Mofu reports from Harare.
Last week, President Mugabe made a previously unannounced State of the Nation address to condemn two factions within his ruling ZANU-PF party that seem to be angling to take over from him.
Those who are saying we belong to this faction or that faction, I say to them, shut up, you belong to Zimbabwe. Shut up and let us not hear any divisive voices from you. The G40s or what you call a poster, whatever, shut up.
The two factions Mugabe referred to are headed by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, referred to as Lacoste, and his wife Grace, referred to as G40. Since his address, nothing much has changed. Nyamutatanga Makombe, an independent political analyst, comments on the divisions in Zimbabwe's ruling party.
Mugabe may weather the storm. That is, if he does, clearly showing who is his preferred successor. If he continues like what he has done, trying to balance the two forces or the two factions, it may cost him ultimately. Like, his power is dwindling because we don't know where those who used to support him stand, given the configurations at the moment. The other storm that is brewing around him is his age. People may also be getting a cue from his agent. That's why there's this dog fight.
Mugabe, who has ruled Zimbabwe since its independence from Great Britain in 1980, has refused to indicate when he will step down. At his 92nd birthday in Masvingo, an impoverished area about 350 kilometers south of Harare this weekend, the issue of who will succeed him might not be discussed officially, but it will remain on people's minds. Analyst Makombe questions the need for a large birthday celebration, particularly in an area where hunger is pervasive.
Any normal thinking political party could have said we are not going to hold them this year. We are talking here of a massive hunger where people are going to celebrate with cakes and blowing balloons. Even the government itself has sent an SOS, have declared a state of emergency. At one level, they are celebrating. At the other level, people are suffering.
64-year-old Jesmael Mhlanga is one of those scoffing at the $800,000 birthday bash.
But as things stand now, I don't think it was a wise idea. I think negatively about it. I'm suffering. I want the economy fixed. I think in solidarity with the many people who are suffering, we shouldn't have had a bash because we're suffering around.
Mugabe's government has made an international appeal for $1.6 billion to import grain for about 3 million Zimbabweans facing hunger. Sebastian Mofu, VOA News, Harare.
The Morgan Tsvangirai-led opposition MDC party strongly condemns President Robert Mugabe's gesture of goodwill after donating 300 cattle to the African Union Foundation. MDCT spokesperson Obet Gutu says the president is well aware that Zimbabwe is gripped by a severe drought, which has already claimed thousands of cattle, while millions of people need food assistance. At the end of his tenure as AU chairman, President Mugabe promised to donate the cattle as a way of dissuading the African continent from over-reliance on Western donations, which he claimed came with strings attached. The Herald newspaper reported today that AU Deputy Chairperson Erastus Mwenja arrived in the country yesterday to receive the beasts, which were sourced from well-wishers. Gutu tells Studio 7 they are dismayed at the president's choice that he likened to that of a father rushing to extinguish a fire about to destroy a neighbor's home while his granary is already in flames.
As the MDC, we find it very strange and also very suspicious why President Mugabe would donate 300 cows to the African Union at a time that Zimbabwe needs about $1.6 billion to feed no less than 6 million Zimbabweans who are facing the specter of devastating drought and impending starvation. We're actually surprised why you would even want to donate Mombes instead of having those 300 cows donated to the AU. Like they say, charity begins at home. Why should you want to donate 300 cows to the AU when Zimbabwe is facing one of the most severe droughts in living memory? Really, this is a total shame.
But Mr. Gutu, some would argue that these beasts came from well-wishers, not from the president himself.
Even if the beasts come from well-wishers, even if the Mombes don't belong to Mugabe himself. But we are saying, why would you want to feed your neighbor's children when your own children are starving? It doesn't make sense. You want them to believe that there's something more to this gift caught and caught than meets the eye. Those Mombes actually should be sold promptly whilst they're still fat, and the money should actually be used to buy maize urgently, which maize should then be distributed equitably to the starving villagers out there in the countryside.
Are you going to challenge this in any way?
Look, it's difficult to challenge because legally, you can't even go to court to say why has President Mugabe and his ZANU-PF, zealots decided to give Mombes to the AU.
That was MDCT spokesman Obet Gutu on the phone from Harare with Studio 7.
As first reported exclusively by Studio 7 on Monday, Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana is now facing a tribunal that might see him being removed from office. The Judiciary Service Commission, which consists of the Chief Justice, Judge President and other judges of the High Court and may be appointed from time to time, says Tomana is not, quote, fit and proper person to continue as Prosecutor General for allegedly defying court orders. But Tomana has filed an urgent chamber court application seeking an interim order to stay the process. But government insiders say President Robert Mugabe will soon appoint a tribunal to start the process of removing Tomana from office. Efforts to get a comment from Tomana's lawyer, Tabani Mpofu, were futile as he did not respond to calls. But University of Kent law expert Alex Magaisa tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the removal of Tomana is long overdue.
Well, I think the surprise really is that it has taken the authorities this long to come to a decision on the prosecutor general. There are several cases that have been reported over the years which suggest that the gentleman was no longer fit for purpose. I can only refer to cases like contempt of court cases last year where he basically refused to obey court orders in the case involving Mr. Kereke in a manner that was very dodgy, considering that this involved the abuse of a minor child. Another blatant case, in my opinion, is the Nerera case involving Professor Nerera, who was found guilty of corruption. In that case, Mr. Tomana was a defense witness for Professor Nerera. But when Mr. Tomana became the Attorney General, he handled the appeal that was lodged by Professor Nerera. And instead of recusing himself, as he should have done, he decided to abort the defense by the state, thereby allowing Professor Nerera to go scot-free. This conduct was criticized very heavily by a judge of the High Court last year. And that's not the only case. There is also the case of Numen Chiadwa, a chief of Marange who had been initially convicted of possessing diamonds. When he tried to sue, Tomana wrote to the judge who was handling the matter, Justice Bere, and Justice Bere issued a stern rebuke of the Attorney General, indicating that he was abusing his office by coming to a judge of the High Court by the back door.
That was Alex Magaisa, a University of Kent law expert, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Kent in Britain.
Coming up,
proposals to set up high court premises in Mutare excites legal professionals.
Heavy rains give people hope in drought-ravaged Zimbabwe.
And will Chickenin beat Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa in the CAF Champions League?
Stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
With a ceasefire in Syria expected to take effect by Saturday, U.S. President Barack Obama says ending the conflicts in Syria and Iraq is instrumental to the defeat of the Islamic State terrorist network.
The United States and Nigeria are in talks about sending U.S. military advisors to Nigeria's Borno state to help with the fight against Boko Haram insurgents.
An African Union delegation continues its visit to Burundi today to push parties to the Burundian conflict toward a dialogue. The delegation, led by South African President Jacob Zuma, was expected to meet with government, opposition, and civil society leaders.
And the latest debate among Republican candidates for the U.S. presidency yesterday turned into a shouting match as the candidates tackled issues such as illegal immigration, U.S. policy in the Middle East, and transparency of candidates' tax records.
You are listening to Studio 7. We are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies. Some Zimbabwean lawyers have commended plans by the Judicial Services Commission to set up a permanent High Court branch in Zimbabwe's eastern border city of Mutare in an effort to clear a huge backlog of cases. Our correspondent Loida Moyo has more details.
Speaking at the official opening of the 2016 legal year in the Manicaland provincial capital, Justice Songwe said there are currently 137 outstanding cases in the region that need urgent High Court attention. He said as a result of such backlogs, there is need to set up a permanent High Court premises in the city like what is being planned in Mashingo province. Three High Court circuits in Mutare only managed to handle 37 cases last year. Justice Ungwe said a court of such a stature should ideally be manned by at least three judges in order to discharge fully its functions. Justice Ungwe said a circuit court deals only with the criminal trials and on exceptional and rare instances, urgent matters. He said setting up of a fully-fledged station has always been considered a high-value investment. Some attorneys commended the Judicial Services Commission's proposals to setting up of a permanent high court structure in the region, saying justice will be delivered timelessly for citizens and at a low cost. Blessing Nyamaropa of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights said the permanent high court base would enable local people to receive justice timeously.
It's a very welcome thing for us to have a permanent High Court here in Mutare. Having a permanent High Court here in Mutare, I think it will improve access to justice. People will not need to travel to Harare and incur a lot of costs, correspondent costs and other costs which are associated with litigation.
Another senior Mutare attorney, Rangarai Mbata, said the government should have set up a permanent High Court station a long time ago.
We have already submitted our cases as well through the Manicaland Lawyers Association to indicate that we have a number of cases pending in Harare. So it would be good for our clients and business as well when you have a High Court here. It obviously brings with it the convenience and reduces the backlog, particularly of the criminal matters.
Deputy Tandiri of Tandiri Law Chambers echoed the same views, adding that life would be easy for witnesses, the accused, court officials and lawyers if a permanent High Court station is set up in Mutare.
It's actually long overdue. We really appreciate the efforts which are being made by the JSC to ensure that there will be a permanent High Court in Mutare.
Manicaland Provincial Affairs Minister Mandichimene also applauded the move, noting that this would also give journalists a chance to write comprehensive articles about the justice delivery in the city.
So that we also understand the proceedings of the judiciary and courts.
The current High Court Circuit in Mutare is expected to be in the eastern border city for 2 weeks. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Damoyo.
The heavy rains that have pounded Zimbabwe since Monday have filled up dams in some areas, bringing the much-needed relief to villagers whose water sources were running critically low. In Plumtree, some dams that were on the verge of drying up are said to be spilling for the first time since the start of the rainy season last year. Former Matlambuzi councillor Tamani Ncube tells Studio 7's Ntunga Milinkomo, despite the rain relief, hunger remains a threat and many people need aid.
Our situation is a tricky situation because even if I can confirm that we have had a very heavy downpour, but the problem is the capacity of our dam. I think they are so tilted that it has greatly reduced the capacity to less than maybe around 40 to 30%. And now, looking at that scenario, it means that all this water is just going to be erased, it's going to flow away. We don't have the capacity to harvest the rain that has fallen.
And how are grazing pastures like?
I think we have a serious challenge as far as pasture is concerned, because we are in settlements that haven't been planned, whereby water needs that settlement, where the pasture is the same place where people are settling, it's the same place where people are doing their agro business or agro farming. So you don't have a proper place to sell this you can use as pasture. So that becomes a real challenge in as far as pasture is concerned. It means that we don't have a reserved space for pasture. So we are still going to be facing serious challenges even if we had such downfall.
That was former Matlambuzi councillor Tamani Ncube speaking with Studio 7's Ntunga Milinkomo.
The National Constitutional Assembly, or NCA, says it is alarmed by what it calls uncalled for utterances made by local government minister Xavier Kasukwere relating to qualifications for eligibility to be a Zimbabwean councillor. Addressing a stakeholders' workshop in Harare early this week, Kasukwere said people who in the future would want to run for office as councillors must be qualified and own assets. But NCA party spokesman Madok Chivasa says the minister is forgetting that the people of Zimbabwe are equal despite their social standing in society. Chivasa says they are encouraging all Zimbabweans to ignore the minister's statement that is based on segregation along the notion of the rich and the poor.
We are quite disappointed as NCA party by the utterances made by Minister Kasukwere. We believe that what he is indirectly saying is that if he says that someone who does not own a property cannot be a candidate or contesting an election as councillor, he's also simply saying that if someone is poor, he cannot believe that they cannot be elected as candidate. And as NCA, we strongly condemn such kind of sentiment, especially coming from a minister who is belonging to a political party like ZANU-PF. Responsible for the poverty in the country. They've been destroying the economy of the country since 1980, and now they cannot then stand up and start to criminalize poverty.
What is your party's position on the alleged corruption by councils in the country?
Yeah, as an NCA party, we are against corruption, and we believe that the problem of councillors who are corrupt can only be solved by the people themselves. The electorate has a duty to choose people who are responsible. And we're saying that responsibility doesn't mean to say that someone is rich or someone is poor. And normally, they just vote for people, be it councillors or MPs or even presidents. They just vote for people who they don't even know. So the problem starts with the electorate. They must know that the best candidate is someone who is among themselves. They must not accept candidates who just come from the above.
That was National Constitutional Assembly spokesman Madok Chivasa in Harare.
And in sports news, it's an action-packed weekend for Zimbabwean football lovers. Our reporter Michael Cariati tells us what is on the menu.
Two Pan-African football matches and a Zimbabwe National Army Charity Challenge quarterfinal match featuring Dynamos make up what is a bumper soccer weekend for football lovers. There is also the Highlanders' 90th birthday celebrations at Barberfield Stadium, the home of the oldest club in Zimbabwean soccer, where the club's chief executive officer, Ndumiso Gumede, has promised a day to remember.
We will have a grand opening where there will be music and song and fanfare and football, of course.
However, the talk of the football fraternity the whole of this week has been whether Zimbabwe champions Chicken Inn would be able to withstand Mamelodi Sundowns' firepower. Their South African club are top of the table and go into Saturday's clash against Chicken Inn, having beaten title rivals Mpumalanga Black Aces 2-1 on Wednesday. They also welcome back star player Zimbabwean Kama Biliad, who missed the first leg at Barberfield Stadium through injury. Chicken Inn lead 1-0 following that win in Zimbabwe, and football follower Levson Ndudzo believes should the game cock stop Billiard, then they will be home and dry.
I think they only need to stop Kama so that they will win.
The Zimbabwean champions coach Joey Antipas says they are not going to give the so-called Brazilians any respect and will play their normal game.
We have to take them head on. You don't afford them too much respect and back off them. We've got to be aggressive with them and go out there and close them down as much as possible.
Over 2,000 Highlanders fans based in South Africa have promised they would be in the stadium to cheer Chicken Inn all the way to victory. Also in action, but this time in the CAF Confederation Cup, are Harare City, who are away in Madagascar against AS Adema. The Zimbabweans carry a narrow 3-2 lead, and head coach Taurai Mangwiro thinks the last-minute win at Rufaro Stadium 2 weeks ago will be vital.
And suddenly it's game on, I'm happy that goal in the dying stages of the match, and it can make a big, big difference.
Putting the icing on the cake will be the Zimbabwe National Army Charity Challenge quarterfinal showdown between Dynamos and Sunday Chidzambwa ZPC Kariba. Although there's been excitement in the Dynamos camp, that came from friendly matches, and this is the real test. A lot of other issues are also happening in the team's dressing room, after new coach George Silva last week exchanged their swords with goalkeeper's coach Gift Mzadzi. The Dynamos coach yesterday also assaulted a Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation cameraman, something which has raised concern about his own discipline. However, Silva says he's not in Zimbabwe on holiday, but to be the champion.
Win. I come here for win. I want to be champion and go to work every day hard for be champion. It's difficult. We have more 50 teams fighting and good teams, but I'm here for win. I go to win.
However, Zimbabwe football fans are hoping that Chicken Inn and Harare City will send them celebrating come the end of their assignments this weekend. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati. A teaser there from Solomon Skuza Makumalo, a song coming to you from Studio 7. Don't forget to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts, Gifts Dube and Blessing Zulu, will be talking with listeners and experts about President Robert Mugabe's $800,000 birthday bash tomorrow.
Now stay tuned for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant weekend.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.